I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. A little something different and special for you now on this Christmas Eve. When I think of Dylan Thomas, I can't help but think of two things. Bob Dylan, born Robert Zimmerman, who named himself after the Welsh poet. And two, Dylan Thomas's classic, A Child's Christmas in Wales. Here's Dylan Thomas in 1952.
One Christmas was so much like the other in those years around the Seatown corner now. Out of all sound except the distant speaking of the voices I sometimes hear a moment before sleep. That I can never remember whether it snowed for 6 days and six nights when I was 12, or whether it snowed for 12 days and 12 nights when I was 6.
Now a retelling of A Child's Christmas in Wales has been brought to life with music. It was recorded by Welsh singer-songwriter and BBC colleague Carys Matthews. It was Peter and the Wolf by Prokofiev that actually compelled Matthews to tell the Dylan Thomas story with music. More on that in a bit, though. First, here's a taste of what Carys Matthews co-created.
One Christmas was so much like another in those years around the Seatown corner now, and out of all sound except the distant speaking of the voices I sometimes hear a moment before sleep. That I can never remember whether it snowed for 6 days and six nights when I was 12, or whether it snowed for 12 days and 12 nights when I was 6.
And Carys Matthews joins us from the BBC in London. I got to say, listening to your reading of A Child's Christmas in Wales, it sounds, Carys, like you really enjoyed making this. Was it always something you wanted to record?
Well, for the last 10 years, yes, I rediscovered my love of Dylan Thomas actually in South Carolina, where I was living at the time. I found a little ornament on a Christmas tree and plucked it off the branch and started reading to see what book it was. It was a little tiny book, and it was A Child's Christmas in Wales. I mean, I was far, far away from home. I am from South Wales originally, living in South Carolina, pregnant, and had time to sit there and actually take in the great writing of Dylan Thomas. And I realised it hit home then. What a brilliant story it was, because it seemed to me it didn't matter where you were from, what religion you are, he has distilled that sense of wonder that we all feel at this very special time of year. And he did it so remarkably well that he speaks with his universal voice.
When had been the previous time you had kind of tucked into A Child's Christmas in Wales prior to that reading in South Carolina?
Oh, gosh, it would have been in primary school. That's wow. Before the age of 10 years old. But I have a family connection, because my uncle Colin Edwards, he was living in America at the time, and he was a journalist. He realised that back home in Wales, people a few years after Dylan Thomas's death had started to turn their backs on the poet, because they were scared of being connected with this guy with such a terrible reputation for womanising and being drunk, because, you know, they were chapel-going people, and it kind of mimics Sunder Milkwood in the way, what will the neighbours say? and so he was like, you know, because he could see it was Dylan Thomas's work was still popular in America and Australia and Germany. And so he went out and interviewed everybody he could, family members, his mom, his daughter, his colleagues, his best friends, just to make sure that we had a rounder view of the man and not just this buffoon character.
Mm. So, I mean, speaking of rounder views, you wrote a piece in The Guardian where you state that Dylan Thomas was commissioned to write a screenplay for the Anglo-Iranian oil company?
Yeah, isn't it fascinating?
I mean, just the side of him, I had no idea.
I think it was a disaster in the end, and he actually came home without actually completing the task. But, you know, this guy was not good with money. I mean, as far as Dylan Thomas was concerned, he was an artist. He was a poet. This was the height of Bohemia. You know, the Surrealist movement was very popular at the time. He put his poetry above all else, including social convention. That meant he'd had no idea how to keep money in the bank. He had debts everywhere. His wife was even crazier than him. That's Kathleen McNamara. And they had children to feed. So, you know, he would take work anywhere. But I don't think that particular piece of work he ever finished.
Not great with money, but great with words. Let's listen to another segment of your rendition of A Child's Christmas in Wales. This is, we'll call it a track because it's on a CD. It's called Hippos.
Or I would go out, my bright new boots squeaking, into the white world, onto the seaward hill, to call on Jim and Dan and Jack, and to pad through the still streets, leaving huge, deep footprints on the hidden pavements. I bet people will think there's been hippos. What would you do if you saw a hippo coming down our street? I'd go like this. Bang! I'd throw him over the railings and roll him down the hill, and then I'd tickle him under the ear and he'd wag his tail. What would you do if you saw two hippos? Iron-flanked and bellowing he-hippos clanked and battered through the scudding snow towards us as we passed Mr. Daniel's house. Let's post Mr. Daniel a snowball through his letterbox. Let's write things in the snow. Let's write, Mr. Daniel looks like a spaniel. All over his lawn.
Just a brilliant little bit there. Dylan Thomas, also known for Under Milkwood, which, lest we forget, was a radio drama originally for the BBC, and for his poem, or at least the title of it, Do Not Go Gentle Into That Good Night. Is it fair to say that most Americans, and probably most people, only know of Dylan Thomas through A Child's Christmas in Wales? And if so, why, of all the things this lyrical genius created, this thing?
Well, Dylan Thomas, it's an extraordinary story. Here was this young chap. He was from rural stock originally. You know, his family were from Carmarthen, which is West Wales, all hills and green grass and farming. He was born in Swansea, slightly bigger city down in the south, industrial city. But he became a legend in his lifetime. He set his mind on being a poet from a very, very early age. Didn't want to be a quiet writer in his shed, not have an audience. He wasn't just a poet. He was a playwright, he became a broadcaster, he was a short story writer, and he was a performer. So he was actually as popular, if not more popular in America than he was at home at times. His wife, Kathleen McNamara, went out on these American tours and I was shocked because here was this fat, short, blubbery-lipped, snub-nosed man reading this work and turning into this sort of superstar that had the young girls swooning literally in front of him in America. You know, his works are universal. He has this universal voice that appealed to everybody. People could identify with the characters in Under Milkwood, particularly, because I think if you're living in a tribe somewhere in Mali or in India, you will recognize the bossy person, the womanizer, the lust-driven youngsters. You know, it is very recognizable wherever you are from the world. So that's why that's become an all-prevailing classic that's very popular. And the work is very accessible.
To begin at the beginning. It is spring, moonless night in the small town, starless and Bible black, the cobble streets silent, and the hunched quarters and rabbit's wood limping invisible down to the slow black, crow black fishing boat bobbing sea.
Now, this is Dylan Thomas reading the opening lines from Under Milkwood in 1953. If you grew up in Wales, like Caris Matthews did, the work of Dylan Thomas was always around.
My mother was quite fond of reading poetry out loud. And then my dad used to sit by the fire and his eyes used to roll, going, oh, not again. but I got quite used to it. And my dad himself loved Bob Dylan, not Dylan Thomas.
Right.
And a lot of jazz and also a little bit of opera here and there. But no, really, my love of Dylan Thomas was rekindled when I was in South Carolina 10 years ago. Since then, I've become involved with the Dylan Thomas Prize for Young Writers. I'm also part of the Dylan Thomas Society. And then, of course, I've released this double album now of his poetry excerpts of his works and A Child's Christmas in its entirety.
The CD is called A Child's Christmas, Poems and Tiger Eggs. As I mentioned earlier, Caris Matthews wanted to include music.
I loved Prokofiev's Peter and the Wolf. That's what I had in mind with A Child's Christmas. You could hear the narrative waiting to dance with music, and the uncles at Christmas become the drunken uncles would be portrayed by the trombones.
And the instruments actually start taking roles on themselves. They become characters.
Yeah, absolutely. That was the most fun. There's a section in it. Fire! Cried Mrs. Prothero when she beat the dinner gong. You know, it's Christmas time. There's all these things going on, and you've got candles lit and fires going. And so you can pick the clarinet, for instance, to become Mrs. Prothero, who is this screeching lady, you know, trying to call attention to the fire going on.
Something was burning, all right. Perhaps it was Mr. Prothero, who always slept there after midday dinner with a newspaper over his face. But he was standing in the middle of the room saying, "A fine Christmas!" and smacking at the smoke with a slipper. "Call a fire brigade!" cried Mrs. Prothero as she beat the gong.
"They won't be there," said Mr. Prothero. "It's Christmas!"
There was no fire to be seen, only clouds of smoke, and Mr. Prothero standing in the middle of them, waving his slipper as though he were conducting.
Karis, you wrote the music, so you chose the instrumentation and decided what instruments were going to be what characters. That must have been a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun, and you know, when you take Dylan Thomas's work, he has done all the work for you, so it really was so much fun. And then I got leading players from the Welsh National Orchestra as well as BBC players to come and play, and Alice Neary's playing the cello, some gorgeous cello on the album. The only pity is that you get to feel so close to Dylan Thomas, and I just want to, you know, by the end just give him a huge hug.
Since you live for a while in South Carolina, let me ask you this. If you had to tell Americans what it is that makes Christmas for children in Wales so special, what would you say? I mean, I hear a child's Christmas in Wales and I think, how different could that be?
But doesn't listening to a child's Christmas in Wales just remind you of your own times over the holidays?
It does fill me with a certain kind of warmth. I'm not sure how to explain it or identify that warmth. But yeah, I mean, it does take you back, and I'm not sure how or why.
Because, you know, one of the prevailing themes of Dylan Thomas is that, you know, sadness at the loss of sense of wonder that we're all naturally born with as we go into, adulthood. You know, that you can see that the theme recurring in poems like Being But Men or Fern Hill or Should Lanterns Shine, which has got that gorgeous line, "The ball I threw while playing in the park has yet to reach the ground." You know, it's just that sense of wonder. But I tell you, there's huge differences between spending Christmas in South Carolina or Nashville, where I lived as well, than Wales. And I tell you what that is. We have turkey at Christmas. And I love the whole procedure of having this. You know, most people in Wales, you know, at the time anyway, things have changed now, but we've got small ovens. We don't have the big Texan oven. We have small ones. So when you get the turkey, and it was kind of like, you have to show off. You can't buy like a 10-pound turkey. You have to have the biggest turkey, 30-pound turkey. And then you get the turkey home and you can't get the blinking thing in the oven. So it's this whole ritual of things going wrong that I love at Christmas.
Share with us one little memory you have about growing up in Wales and celebrating Christmas. Just one thing that may or may not be reflected in Dylan Thomas's work.
I don't, because it usually ends up in argument.
Don't they all?
I'm one of four children. My sister's older than me, and then I've got two younger brothers, and we all think we're the best cooks. And then my mum as well, who's a very Welsh mum. She wouldn't mess with my mother or my grandmother, who's now 83. I think Christmas. My favourite Christmas story was one Christmas. There's a Pembrokeshire. Pembrokeshire's on the west coast of Wales. It looks a bit like Ireland, lots of rocks and no trees. And if you do have trees, they grow sideways. But anyway, in Pembrokeshire, there's this old ale recipe. And my father and mother used to make this ale in an old clothes boiler with hops and malt and some more of my mum's stockings, as it goes. Very handy. Recycling all the way. Anyway, we must have made the strongest ale, because that Christmas we ran out of buckets. And my favourite ever memory was listening to Lay, Lady, Lay by Bob Dylan with my father, who rarely drinks. and works really hard. But this Christmas, he was leaning against me and he became a dead weight, and I had to drag him up to bed with my mum behind the back of our guests.
Wow. When they say visions of sugar plums dancing in their heads, they were not kidding.
Oh, sorry. It's a bit chaotic. We were a big family. My father's going to kill me saying this.
Karis Matthews, BBC broadcaster and singer-songwriter, Merry Christmas to you, and thanks for this new rendition of A Child's Christmas in Wales.
Oh, thanks for having me on the show. It's been a real pleasure. Happy Christmas.